Good evening, Pastor Joe from Locust Grove Church coming at you for Bible study. We have been on this great series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it is awesome. It's kind of like a mini series within a much larger series of God, the Holy Spirit. And as I've mentioned the last couple of weeks, I love this subject. It is my favorite ministry of the Holy Spirit because through it, we get to see the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I was much younger, I used to try to learn the debates on how to defend the existence of God to unbelievers and others, and I used to try to use reason, and I'm sure there's a place for that. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but I am convinced now more than ever that the best proof of the existence of God is His children manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit on planet Earth to others. I really believe that. Because we are little Christ. We are Christians. Little Christs. And so we should be manifesting the character qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and striving to develop them and allow God to bring them to fruition. We've looked at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 where it says that everywhere we go, we are a fragrance, an aroma to God among those who believe, to other believers, and among those who are not believers, who are perishing. And I love that great thought because everywhere we go, everywhere we, you know, right now we can't go too many places, maybe the gas station, maybe the pharmacy, the grocery store for sure. But where we go, we're taking the fragrance, the spiritual fragrance of Christ with us. And I used that, coupled that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 with Galatians chapter 5 to basically say that though the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, in truth, the fragrance of Christ. That in and of ourselves, we all can harbor nasty attitudes. We can harbor, we're rough around the edges. We can say things we regret. We can act in ways that we thought, man, what in the world was I thinking when I did that? You know, that we have that in us because of the sinful nature, but also because of the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit now lives within us. And if we allow that fruit and ourselves work on cultivating that fruit of the Holy Spirit within our lives, that it'll bring this lush greenery that is, in truth, characteristics of Christ Himself. And, you know, I can't think of a more beautiful person, of a better person, of a more perfect person than Jesus Himself to have His qualities reflected in and through our lives. He is a loving Savior. He is a gentle shepherd. He is a very kind God, a kind Lord. And so we want to develop those qualities within us. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I pray you do, I'm reading out of the King James Version, New King James Version, rather. And this is my Bible here. So if you can open them up to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, we've covered the first three fruit of the Holy Spirit. Please note that the word fruit is singular in the Bible. It is not used as plural. It doesn't say the fruits, plural, of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit. So if you're in Galatians chapter 5, please look with me at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, I love that. Love, joy, peace. Love, in that definition in the Greek language, agapao, to love, agape, the noun, love, means to have the most pure, the most noble love there is present in the world today. And interestingly enough, we humans can't manufacture it in and of ourselves. Because 1 John 4:8 says, love comes from God. This type of love can only come from God. You know, we humans can generate, we can generate eros love, sexual love, romantic love. We can generate storge, familial love, mutual respect. We can generate Philadelphia, brotherly love. But we cannot generate God's love. That only comes when the Holy Spirit comes to reside within us. Romans chapter 5, I believe it's verse 5 that says, the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. So there you go. That's how we get that love within us. And we have that love within us. But understand something about that love. It is an action word. It's not a noun. It is an action. It's a love that does things. It's a love that helps. It's a love that serves. It's a love that is generous, that is kind, that is giving, and so on. And then we talked about joy. You know, thank God. Greek word hara for joy, and then eirene for peace. And so this evening, let's chop away a little bit at a couple more of these characteristics of this fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? Let's look at the next one, long-suffering. Long-suffering. You know what that means? The Greek word makrothumeas. Makrothumeas. You know, to be literally translated, it means this. Macro means large or long. Thumeas, temper. Long-tempered. Wow. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Long-tempered. Long-tempered. How many of y'all have ever known short-tempered people? Yeah. They have a very short fuse and they explode on any small little thing. That's short-tempered. You know, I've discovered with anger, a lot of people don't know when to cap their anger. How many of y'all have discovered that it's easier to cap your anger when it's right here at a manageable level rather than allowing it to fly off the handle and go up here and then trying to cap it up here? Much easier to cap anger and a bad temper down here. And this particular fruit of the Holy Spirit allows us to be long-tempered. You know, it allows us to be like that duck who has water just wash off of its back. But let me say here also that people can do hurtful things to us. People can say hurtful things to us, and some of those hurtful things hit, they connect, they gash us, they scar us, they cause us to bleed emotionally, right? Or maybe it might not be like a... How many of y'all have ever discovered that some people's comments can be like little paper cuts? Have you ever been cut by the edge of a paper? Yow, it stings, doesn't it? It stings and it leaves a little cut, and it, for me, it stings for hours. And I got to be careful, put a Band-Aid around it. But you know, some people's words can be like paper cuts. Maybe they're not like a big machete cut, but just enough to cause bleeding and just enough to cause pain. And so even in long-tempered, when we're hurt, we don't strike back. We don't retaliate. We don't allow our temper just to flare off. Can I pursue this a little more, church family, since we're talking about the fruit of Jesus? I've seen believers make excuses for other believers who were short-tempered. They say, well, that's just Richard. That's just his temperament. And that's just him. You know, Richard will be Richard. And yeah, Richard will be Richard. But, you know, I don't think when Richard stands before the Lord and gives an account for his short temper, I don't think the Lord will just kind of slough it off as, oh, Richard, you were just being Richard. No, he'll say, Richard, I gave you my fruit. Why didn't you exercise my fruit? Why didn't you develop my fruit? Not picking on Richard. If your name is Richard, not picking on you. He'll look at me and I'll say, Joe, why weren't you more kind? Why weren't you more gentle? Why weren't you more long-tempered? Yoo-hoo. We all need to be more long-tempered and just ignore comments and not let them get stuck in our craw, so to speak. Not let them get stuck in our mind and us, you know, kind of obsessing over comments or gestures or this or that. And then all of a sudden our thinking becoming tainted with negative emotion toward a person or a situation altogether. We've got to be very careful to become long-tempered, okay? So I want to leave that one at that. Let's go to the next one. It says kindness. That's a beautiful word in the Greek language. It means integrity. It means goodness. It means moral excellence. Isn't that beautiful? Moral excellence. Wow. I love that concept. I'm not morally excellent, but I'm working on it because that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it also means goodness. to have a good nature about you. Now, part of being good-natured is not taking everything so dadgum seriously. Yoo-hoo. You know, when I was much younger, everything to me was a major crisis. Everything. And then as I've experienced life more, I'm thinking, man, some hills are just not worth dying on. Can I get a witness, please? Some matters are not worth getting all bent out of shape over. Amen? Life is too short. Practice kindness. And of course, there's that element of kindness that where you, if I can just say it Texas style, where you're just plain nice to others. You play nice and you are nice to people. I've learned to practice that with other people, you know, that I've got to think before I speak and I've got to think before I do some things, because some things can be hurtful to others or can be misconstrued by others or can actually, you know, pose a problem with others. And so I've got to think. We all have to think about saying nice things. You know, if we can't be kind, what can we be if we're followers of Jesus Christ? You know, I've heard a lot of Christians say that they have righteous indignation. Baby, let me clear that up for you. There was only one who had righteous indignation. That was Jesus, because he didn't have any sinful nature within him. You and I can rationalize our anger, our short temper, our meanness. And yes, I said meanness because there are a lot of believers that are mean. Meaner than a junkyard dog, I'm telling you. And they rationalize and they justify that negative emotion as being righteously indignant. There's a great Texas word for that, and that is bull. No. There is no meanness in the heart. There should be no meanness in the fellowship of followers of Jesus Christ. There should be no place for it in church. I don't care how you wrap it, what little gift wrapping you choose to wrap your little emotion in. There is no place for meanness. There's only place for kindness. Kindness, being nice to people. When I'm at a grocery store and I'm opening the door and I see an older lady walking in, and so I'll open the door for her and I'll be cordial and try to be nice. Say, good morning, ma'am, you know, and if that sweet older lady that's old enough to be my grandma's pretty, I'll say, ma'am, you're very attractive lady. I'll tell them that, you know, and invariably they respond to me like, Sonny, I don't have money for you. But anyway, you know, we're just being nice to people. Today I was with my barber and I gave him a little extra tip because he's hard up for money and such. And just blessed him a little bit because he's struggling to make ends meet because of this lockdown and such. You know, just try to be kind to people. Gestures that are, we might consider to be not important, but you know what? To the person receiving it, that's a huge deal. So can we be kind, church? Can we not justify meanness? Can we not justify anger? Can we not justify all these toxic emotions and wrap them up in the under the guise of, well, you know, the Lord's leading me to a righteous indignation and to champion this cause for Christ? And, you know, my friend, if everything we do, if it's not done in love, it's not done for Christ. We should be kind. We should be nice. Last one that we look at, okay? And we'll be done. So it's long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Goodness. Agathos in the Greek. Goodness. That means that you can be a good person on the inside. Once again, demonstrate goodness to people by doing things, going the extra mile. Doing little things for them. You know, during this time, I've had calls from people that they knew people that were in need of milk. And so I was at a city one morning and, you know, I looked for milk there. All I could find was 1 gallon of milk in a big grocery store, large grocery store building, 1 gallon. So I went to a different city and I found a couple more gallons. So I bought those just to be a blessing to people who needed something as simple as milk. That is goodness. That is showing good will toward other people. And you know, God has shown us good will toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, you know, God showed that He demonstrated His love for us and that He died for us. You know, the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, the angels were proclaiming goodwill from God to man. Goodwill. Do we have goodwill toward primarily our immediate families, toward our spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, our children? Do we have goodwill? Do we say kind words? Do we say loving things to them? Do we seek to build them up? And then to the church family, you know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 that when you're doing good, you should first do good to those of the household of faith. And if you can't do good with your church family, babe, why are you looking at the world to try to reach them if you're not being good with your own church family? We've got to start somewhere, and we've got to start with believers, and then it goes to the lost so that they too can smell the fragrance of Christ in us. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this Bible study. And I pray, Lord, that you minister these characteristics of Jesus Christ to us. Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to develop more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for being patient with us, for being long-tempered with us, Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.